Good evening. Let's all stand together and sing hymn number 45. Hymn number 45. Ye servants of God, your master proclaim and publish abroad his wonderful name, the name all victorious of Jesus extol. His kingdom is glorious, he rules over all. God ruleth on high, almighty to save, and still he is nigh, his presence we have. The great congregation his triumph shall sing, ascribing salvation to Jesus our King. Salvation to God, who sits on the throne, let all cry aloud and honor the Son. The praises of Jesus the angels proclaim, fall down on their faces and worship the Lamb. Then let us adore and give him his right, all glory and power and wisdom and might, all honor and blessing with angels above, and thanks never ceasing and infinite love. Thank you, and be seated. Hymn number 512. 512. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday when fades the golden sun, Beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord will say, well done, and I shall enter in to rest, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday till then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright, that when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him may take its flight. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace.
Acts 25. Acts chapter 25. We'll deal with the first 12 verses this evening, Lord willing. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea unto Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him, and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying in wait the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. If I be an offender, I have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus said, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou hast appealed unto Caesar shalt thou go. Let's be sure and remember Bill and Fran. Our Father, oh, our Father. What a blessed name, what a blessed title that we can come and call you our Father. You're our Father through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're our Father who begat us again by the word of truth. You're our Father who saved us by blessed grace. You're our Father who sent your Son into this world to redeem us and pay for us with his precious blood. And oh, as a child talking to his father. We come. Oh, Lord, we come. And we trust that you hear us. And, Lord, we come with troubled hearts, weary hearts, fearful hearts, not for ourselves, but for others. Lord, we're troubled for Bill and Fran, troubled for their situation. And, oh, Lord, we know that you'll see them through this and that you'll uphold them and you'll meet the needs of their hearts, you'll meet the needs of their homes, you'll meet the needs of their souls. And, Lord, you've already provided for the needs of the soul. So they got a blessed hope, and we're thankful for that. And we pray for those, and I fear for those who have such little interest in the gospel, have such little interest in the worship of God, have such little interest in the fellowship of the saints and gathering with the sheep of God. That troubles me, causes fear in my heart. So, Lord, I leave that in your hands. Lord, you know who they are, you know where they are, and you know why they are. So, Lord, we'll leave that with you. And, Lord, we pray for those who have hearts in their troubles in their home and in their heart. God bless them, Lord, strengthen them, encourage them. Meet with us tonight. Bless us in your precious word. Meet the needs of every heart here. We ask in Christ our Lord's name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if I turned that on. Let me see. Let me turn it on. There we go.
Hymn number 127. 127. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die, it is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen. What a Savior. What a Savior. Well, let's look together here in this chapter that I read. But I want to go back up and make a few comments from 24, verse 24 in chapter 24. And then go on with my message this evening. You know, Felix was the governor, and Festus came into Felix's room, Felix was no longer governor. But after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Acts 24:24, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, so she was a Jew married to Felix, a Roman, who sent for Paul and heard him, listen to this now, concerning the faith in Christ. Concerning the faith in Christ. Boy, wouldn't you love to be able to preach to the governor the faith in Christ? And as he reasoned, Paul reasoned before Felix and his wife, he reasoned of righteousness, talked about righteousness, how desperately men need righteousness. And they talked about temperance. And that word temperance means moderation before God Almighty. And he also preached judgment to come. Felix, you're going to have to face the judgment. You're going to have to face God Almighty one of these days. You're going to have to face Christ himself. And then, oh, Felix trembled. He trembled. It's really, really got to him. He trembled. This message got to him. He said, now go thy way this time. Go on back where you was. I'll let you go back to where you were. And when I have a convenient season, when it's convenient for me, that's what he's saying. When it's convenient for me, I'll call for you. I'll call for you. Don't you worry about that. He said, when I'm ready to hear you. And that's what most people feel like. When I'm ready to listen. When I'm ready to listen. He hoped, and listen to this, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. Paul, if you come up with enough money, look what he says, I'll turn you loose. He wanted to be bribed. How much money you reckon it'd take for me to get you out of jail and set you free? Oh, how wicked men are, how wicked they are. Wherefore, he sent for them the more oftener and communed with him. So I tell you, Paul got to preach before him. And that's why I said last week, it's Paul before Felix instead of Felix before Paul. Paul was the one with all the authority. Paul was the one with all the power. Paul was all the one that made Felix tremble. Paul was the one who knew about righteousness. Paul was the one who knew about judgment. Paul was the one who knew about Christ. And oh my, and this says in verse 27, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus, another Jew, came into Felix's room. In other words, he became the new governor. And listen to this now. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. And now look what happens. Now here in verse 1, it says, now when Festus, was come into the province after 3 days, he ascended to Caesar from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Now there's three types of people represented here in this verses I read to you. There's the accusers, that's the Jews. And then there's the judge, that's Festus. And then the accused, that's the Apostle Paul. And then it says there, then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him, when he's up at Jerusalem now, informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, lying in wait in the way to kill him. Now here's the first people that we see, the Jews. They're the ones accusing Paul. They're the one that hated Paul. And I tell you, and here's the thing about it. They desired favor. Ain't that what it said in verse 3? They desired favor. We desired you to listen to us. We desire you to look at us and deal with us better than you could anybody else. And I tell you what, the Jews illustrate corrupt influence of religion without God. This is religion. They represent religion without God Almighty. That's exactly what they do. And I tell you, they claim God's authority. And you know, they claim God's authority to even crucify people. They claim God's authority to put people to death. And I tell you, most, and that's all religion's fit for. Without Christ, it's corrupt. Without Christ, it's looking for favor from the world. Without Christ, it has nothing but rottenness and corruption. And these Jews are corrupt. And I tell you what, most people look on religion as a good thing, as a very good thing. You know, do you go to church anywhere? Are you saved? Have you been led to the Lord yet? If you accepted Christ into your heart, religion's a good thing to most people. And I think it's a good thing because God uses religion to keep people moral and to restrain them from being worse than they normally would. That's why you see so much. A lot of these places in town have to have two services or three services a day. They have them from the little bitty youngins to the old people. And I tell you what, and that I think that religion, God uses it to restrain people, to keep them back from being as bad as they would. And oh my. But I tell you, and also this is the thing that corrupts. A lot of people don't want anything to do with religion because of all the evil that's been done in the name of religion. Now you look at how the Jews treated Christ, look at how the Jews treated the apostles. And I tell you, there's been a lot of meanness, a lot of corruption and evil on account of religion in this world. And there's a lot of people that detest it because of that. And history abounds about how evil and wicked men are in religion and hate it and how they detest it. You know, it says over here in the gospel said they'll kill you thinking they're doing God a service. They'll kill you thinking they good do God a service. But you just look at what's happened. Look at what happened in Israel just recently. You think man ain't wicked. You think man ain't cruel. You think man ain't full of hatred. You think man ain't a racist. You think man ain't a bigot. You think man ain't prejudiced. When they go in and kill babies, go in and kill old people, it don't make no difference who they kill. Just want to kill them. And that's religious people. They're religious. They're so religious, they're killing people in the name of their religion. That's what they're doing. This is our religion. This is it. And you go through history, and I tell you what, you're talking about the holy wars. They had holy wars for over 1,000 years over fighting over Jerusalem. The Muslims come in and they took it, and the British, they and a whole bunch of people all over Europe, they took ships and went back over there, and they fought a holy war for decades over Jerusalem. And they're still fighting over Jerusalem. And oh my. And then there was the Spanish Inquisition. This, what they done in that is the Catholics ruled and reigned. And if you confess faith in Christ and wouldn't become a Catholic, you know what they'd do to you? They'd put a horse over here and a horse over there and a horse on your leg, and they would make them horses pull in every direction until they pulled your body plumb apart. They put you on the rack and start twisting like this here until they pulled you all apart and your whole body could pull in too. If you didn't become a Catholic or you confess faith in Christ. And they done that to thousands and thousands of people. Go back and listen to it. And Martin Luther, the Pope pursued him to death like pursuing a rabbit. And oh my. And then Martin Luther turned around. And he despised Baptists. He hated Baptists. He fought against the Anabaptists, our forefathers. Because you know why? Because they baptized infants. He still stayed in the Roman church, baptized infants. And Anabaptists didn't believe that baptism was for believers. And they preached that baptism was for Christ people after they confessed faith. And Luther hated them. So everybody's fighting everybody. And that's what religion, these Jews represent, false religion and all of its corruption. Oh my. And then look what the Jews did to all the prophets. Oh my, what they did to the prophet, what they did to their own Messiah. Their Savior came, their Messiah came, the Christ came. And what did they do? Killed him, crucified him. And I'll tell you something, biblical Christianity has always, always suffered at the hands of false religion. Always has and always will. So that's the Jews. They're representative of false religion. False religion. And I tell you, there's plenty of it around. I was talking to a fellow today. Well, he was talking to me. All I done was listen. You know, when somebody does all the talking, all you can do is listen. But anyway, to make a long story short, he said, God has to give you a new heart. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And he said, you know, and God elected a people, chose a people. And then he turns around and talks about being led to the Lord. He said, so-and-so led somebody to the Lord. And these people led them to the Lord. And he told all these illustrations of all the things that God had done. So how in the world can you believe in total, you know, being dead in sins, believe God has to give you a new heart, and believe in election and turn around and talk about leading people to the Lord? You reckon that's a contradiction? Mm-hmm. And I've done made up my mind, the next time he talks like that, that's what I'm going to tell. I've done made up my mind. I can't take it anymore. But oh my. But the judge. Here we've seen the Jews. Now look at the judge. Look here at the judge. And okay, the Jews, high priest and the chief Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him that he ascend to Jerusalem. So they'd bring him up to Jerusalem and kill him. But now here's the judge now. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart from Jerusalem and go down to Caesarea, 60-mile journey. Let them, therefore, and he told all these Jews, he told all the chief priests and all them fellows, he said, let them, therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me. You go down there with me, and you accuse this man. If there be any wickedness, you prove there's any wickedness in this man. And when he stayed up there and got around all the people and talked to all the people and got his bearings straight, and then he, more than 10 days, then he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat. And listen to what it says. He didn't say, y'all need to bring Paul. He commanded. That's what people in authority do. He commanded Paul to be brought. Commanded him to be brought. Huh? And oh my. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Oh my. Festus, the judge. He is a man who went right to work. He hadn't been in the country but 3 days, and went right to work. Right to work. Went up to Jerusalem, went right to work. Went and sat on his judgment seat. And after 10 days, he came down. And you know, he was in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the religious capital of the world. And most people think it still is. Most people really think that Jerusalem is the religious capital of the world. If they could just get to Jerusalem where Jesus was buried, if they can get to Jerusalem where David was, get to Jerusalem where all the kings lived, get to Jerusalem. Oh, my. But I tell you what, there's a heavenly Jerusalem. That's the one I'm interested in. And oh my. And so they went down, and he was a Roman, and he conferred with the leaders what was facing him. And so he stayed 10 days and he came down. Now he was a good governor in the sense that he did things as they arose. Whenever something come up, he dealt with it. And he told them, if you got anything accusation against this man, you come down with me to Caesarea. And you come down here and accuse this man. And then look what happens now. He had Paul brought down, and they laid many charges against him. Verse 8, we'll get to this in a minute. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. So he sat on his throne, sit on the judgment seat. And he called Paul. And he had a conversation with Paul. And I tell you what, he had favor as a judge, showed favor. Now listen to what he said. And I said Festus did exactly the same thing. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, "Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things of me?" He already, and look what it said, and that's what Felix done, the same thing, willing to show the Jews a pleasure. And then Festus, willing to show the Jews a favor. In other words, willing to be bribed, willing to do what I need to do. And oh my, and I tell you, he had a favor. He is willing to show the Jews a favor. Willing to show, is this what you do when you govern over along with other people? Now in politics, they compromise. But when you're a judge, there's supposed to be no compromise. When you're a judge, you're supposed to judge righteously. When you're a judge, you're supposed to hear the prosecution and the defense, and whichever one got the best evidence, that's the one that's going to win the case. And that's what happened here. And oh my, look, I want you to look with me in Luke 23:25. This is what, talking about him willing to show the Jews a pleasure. Willing to show the Jews a pleasure. And Pilate and he released unto them that for sedition and murder was cast into prison whom they desired. But listen to this now. But he delivered Jesus to their will. That's what everybody's going to do. They're going to deliver Jesus up to the will of man. Huh? And that's what preachers do today. They deliver the Lord Jesus Christ up to the will of man. Oh my. But there's this is a legal matter here. And as a judge, he's not supposed to show favor. He's not to be preferred. He's supposed to render justice or not abuse this innocent man. But that's exactly what he done, willing to show the Jews a pleasure. And that's what they wanted to do. So we had the Jews, corrupt religion without, got religion without Christ. The judge, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, wanting to show favor to the Jews, wanting to. And then he also asked him, "Will you go up to Jerusalem?" Because Paul knew that if they took him to Jerusalem, he was as good as, they would kill him. They would kill him. And that's what they said. That's what they said they would do, that they might kill him. And now here we have the accused, the Apostle Paul. Oh my, you had the trial. You had the trial. Verse 7 and 8, you know, they brought all these grievous things. And Paul answered for himself. Paul answered for himself. He said, "They laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not pray." I don't know what all they done to him. In Acts 25 and verse 8, but oh my, laid many, many grievous complaints against Paul. Oh, how they despised him. But look what it says in verse 8. He said, while he answered for himself, every time he done that, he said, "I most cheerfully answer for myself." But he didn't hear. He said, "I answer for myself." He didn't know Festus. He never met Festus until he sat on his judgment seat and he come in front of him. And they laid many, and he answered for himself. He didn't have a lawyer said, "Now, don't say a word." He didn't have a lawyer saying, "Shut up." He didn't have a lawyer, "Don't you say a word unless I'm sitting right beside you." He didn't do that, no. He answered for himself. But I tell you, he did have an advocate. And you know who that advocate was? Jesus Christ the righteous. he had one standing with him, better than anybody in the universe other than Christ himself. And look what he said. He had an advocate with the Father. And he says, listen to this, neither against the law, neither against the temple, and yet, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. Now here's what the charges that they brought here would amount to. Heresy. You're against the law. They called him a heretic. And he says, you know, if I'm against the law, you're saying I'm a heretic. And when he talks about the law, we're not talking about the Ten Commandments. When he talks about the law, he's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about everything. You know, David says, show me wondrous things out of thy law. Now, he doesn't talk about showing him things out of the Ten Commandments. Show me things out of your blessed book. Show me things out of your word. And that's what he's talking. And so here he is. He said, heresy, he's against the law. And then secondly, they charged him against sacrilege, that he went against the temple, that he was in the temple, profaning the temple and making things awful in the temple of God. And then thirdly, they accused him of treason, because if you spoke against Caesar, if you spoke against Caesar, and Caesar was the world ruler at that time, it cost you your life. They'd kill you. That you couldn't speak against Caesar. He was the emperor. And also that would have been treason. And these are the charges. I'm going to tell you something. Every one of these things is what they charged our Lord Jesus Christ with. Huh? That's the very thing. You know, how many times did it say, he keepeth not the Sabbath. He broke the Sabbath. He healed somebody on the Sabbath. Why did you heal him on the Sabbath? You had Monday to do it. You had Tuesday to do it. Why do you do it on the Sabbath? And they despised him for healing people on the Sabbath. You remember our Lord said, which of you had a sheep caught in a ditch that you wouldn't go out and pick him up out of the ditch? If it's on the Sabbath or some problem happened, you'd go out and fix it. So what are you holding against me that I heal somebody on the Sabbath? And the Sabbath, I'll tell you, there's no such thing as a Christian Sabbath. Let me tell you that right now. I've been reading a lot about people talking about the Christian Sabbath. Sabbath means rest. And I don't need one day in particular to rest. I rest every day in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't need a day to set apart to rest in Him. And that's what God meant by Sabbath, a day of rest. And I tell you, Christians don't have a Sabbath. Christians don't have one, never has had one, and never will have one. You know, they say, well, when you know, you get up on the... I know, I'm reading about people that their wives cooked everything on Saturday, so they wouldn't have to cook on Sunday. And then they had their Sabbath all day, didn't do a thing. Wouldn't even have company in the house. Wouldn't let nobody come in the house to even speak to them and visit with them. That'd be a pitiful situation, wouldn't it? But oh my, that's what they accused our Lord of. He broke the law. He kept not the Sabbath. And oh my, and he committed sacrilege. You know, our Lord said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And they said, that's what they used him, said, didn't he say that if he destroyed this temple, he'd raise it back up in 3 days? And they said, see, he wants to destroy God's work. He wants to destroy the temple. He wasn't talking about that temple. He's talking about his body. And oh my, they held that against him. And then treason. He made himself a king. And that's what them Jews said. We have no king but Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. And they used that against Paul. And there's the very things that they accused our Lord Jesus Christ of. And I'll tell you something, beloved, and I'll wind it up here. Oh, so many accusations are made against believers in almost every country where people feel free to attack them. Oh, my. I'm telling you, you know, if you're not accused of something, you know, and we used to really have a lot of accusations made against us, but they finally just figure they're just wasting their breath now. But here's why they hold it against people, for Jews, the Lord's people. They say they disregard the laws and customs of the nation they live in. And they despise it that believers have another Lord. You know, we don't have a Lord in this country. We don't have nobody we bow down to in this country. We don't have anybody that we submit to in this country. We don't have anybody that we have to do that to. Oh, nah. We have another Lord. And I tell you something else about believers. What they don't like is they don't see things the way the world sees them. We look at everything different. We view the world through the eyes of God's blessed book. I don't view the world through the eyes of politics, economics, economy, or anything else. We view the world through God's book. I have a worldview as of Christ. And I tell you, this is the world's going to hell. We know that. It's been doing that as long as I can remember. But guess who's on the throne? Guess who's running this world? I haven't watched the news in over about 3 years. And I tell you what, it's made me so calm, much, much calmer. You know, all I have to do is just, you know, you can read 2 minutes or something and find out exactly what's going on. But here's the thing about it. And I'm so thankful for this. I told that, we was talking today, and I told that fellow, I said, every day we get up, we're subject to the will of God in Christ. Every day of our lives, when we get up, we're subject to the will of God. I mean, we may not know what's going to happen to us that day, but it's the will of God for us that day. If it's quiet and peaceful, it's the will of God. If it's bad news, it's the will of God. If it's good news, it's the will of God. If it's death written on our houses, it's the will of God. And I tell you what, most of the time He lets us have a little a peace most of the time and quiet in our homes, in our lives, and in our hearts. But oh my, we don't look at the world the way everybody else does. God separates us from the rest of this world. And I tell you what, and we don't have the religion that people among most people live with. I don't want the religion that the folks down the road have. I don't want the religion the folks have the word. I don't want to have my whole salvation depend on baptism. I don't want my salvation depend upon the free will of man. I don't want my salvation depend on somebody leading me to Christ. I don't want my salvation dependent upon some preacher telling me what I should or should not do, how I should or should not dress, where I should or should not go. I've got one person to tell me that, and that's God's blessed book. And that's what we're... And I'll tell you what, and then the scripture says here, Paul says, you know, they could not prove, and there in verse 7, against they could not prove. They couldn't prove anything about Paul. Couldn't prove anything. And Festus, he's a double-minded man. And a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. And it says there in verse 9, but Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, want to please these Jews, answered Paul and said, will thou go up to Jerusalem, there be judged of these things? Oh, my. Paul understood exactly what was going on. Then Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, and you know it very, very well. And oh my, he said, I know what's going on. I appeal to Caesar. And that's another thing. We're able to appeal to a higher court. You know, that's the highest place you can go in this country. You start out with a magistrate, then a judge, then a Supreme Court in a country, you know, in your state, and then you can go to the federal level, and then you can go all the way to the Supreme Court if you feel like you've got a case. And that's what Paul said. He said, listen, I'm not going to let the Jews judge me. I'm not going to let the Jews setting judgment on me. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to appeal to Caesar. That's the highest place you could appeal to. And oh my. And I tell you, then what he said. And he said in verse 11, Paul said, if I have been an offender and I have really done all the things that they say, or have I committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. I'm not afraid of dying. He himself said, the time of my departure is at hand. But if there be none of these things whereof they accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. And that's what he knows. Nobody, none of y'all can deliver me to them Jews. Them Jews hate me. They intend to murder me. They intend to kill me. I appeal unto Caesar. Huh? Oh, my. And then he says, Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. How did he end up doing this and saying these things? How did Paul face such hard circumstances? First of all, he knew God. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, Christ had already appeared to him in Acts 24 and said, Paul, be of good cheer, because thou must also be a witness of me in Rome. How are you going to get to Rome? Going up to Caesar. Why did he do this? Because Christ said you got to witness to me in Rome. You're going to stand before Caesar and you're going to witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. You think about standing in front of the highest emperor in the whole world at that particular time, standing in front of him and preaching the gospel of the grace of God to him, preaching the blood and righteousness of Christ. Oh my, wouldn't I love to do that? Oh my. And I tell you what, this you talk about stability and fearlessness. Oh my, that's what kept Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in the furnace. Christ was in there with them. When you go in the furnace, Christ's going to be in there with you. When you suffer, Christ's going to suffer with you. And oh my. And here's another why he appealed on how he dealt with these things. He knew the Word. He knew the Word of God. He knew the Scriptures. And he was true to the Word, and he was true to God. Paul was innocent, but yet he's got to go up to Rome and face Caesar. So I'll tell you what, we got these corrupt Jews, we got this corrupt judge, and we got a fearless believer. Huh? A man who's innocent, but he's got to go to the highest court known in the world at the time. Oh, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. Oh, the true and blessed God. Oh, Lord, we're thankful that you're God. We're thankful that the Holy Spirit is a person and comes and takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. And, oh, Lord, keep us from the corruption of our own heart. Keep us from the corruption of this old sorry flesh. Keep us from ourselves. We're the worst enemy we got. Oh, Lord, we got a traitor in the castle. So, Lord, keep that traitor subdued. And please forgive us of everything that's unlike you. And meet the needs of these dear saints that's gathered here this evening. Strengthen them, encourage them, and bless them in their bodies. Father, I thank you for their good attention. Thank you for their love of the gospel. Thank you for their faithfulness. And Lord Jesus, please meet the needs of our dear brothers and sisters who are sick, who are being greatly, greatly tried. And help us to always do what we possibly can to make life easier for them. For Christ's sake, amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the life of His glory and grace. Amen. See you Sunday, God willing. Lord bless you.